The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Soita Daf Lamed Daled, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We're in the middle of Perek Emun Amorim. The Mishnah mentioned a list of things that are Nemorim B'chol Lashon, and a list of things that are Nemorim Dafke B'Lashon HaKodesh. One of the things mentioned as being said only B'Lashon HaKodesh was the Brachos and the Klolos, and that's referring to a very specific event in Jewish history, when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, that first day that the Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael, together with Yeshua ben Nun and the Skenim, they were instructed to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, stand between the two mountains. Six Shvatim stood on one of the mountains, the other six Shvatim stood on the other mountain, and there was a whole Seder, a whole process of Brachos and Klolos that was supposed to play out. We saw a little bit about it in the Mishnah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We saw a little bit more about it in yesterday's Daf. We're actually going to get into it a little bit more in the end of tomorrow's Daf. The point is that Agav Urchi, we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Brachos and the Klolos, that took place day one when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael. So Agav, the Gemara is going to digress and talk a little bit about the way that the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael. Now we're all familiar with how the Yidden left Mitzrayim. They left Mitzrayim by Yibishalach Pari Asa'am. Pari finally, after the 10th Makkah, Makkah's Bekhiris, gives the Yidden Rishus to leave Mitzrayim. But he has seller's remorse very quickly, and he starts chasing after them. And the Yidden find themselves trapped between Mitzrayim on the one side and the Yamsuf on the other side. They jump into the Yam, Nachshon and Aminadav. Hashem performs one of the great miracles of all time. The sea is split. The Yidden cross the Yam, the Mitzrayim, thinking that if the sea split for the Yidden, it's probably going to split for them as well. They follow suit. They all drown. Klal Yisrael sing Shira, Az Yashir, Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Az Shira, Az Yis. That's a story that we're all familiar with. We say Az Yashir every day in davening. It's from the first episodes, things that children are taught when they're in yeshiva. What we're not so familiar with is that the sea actually split for Klal Yisrael a second time en route to Eretz Yisrael. And that was already when Yeshua ben Nun was leading the Yidden, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had already been Nifter. Moshe was Nifter on Zayin Adar. And the second time the sea split was on Yud Nisan, a short while after the Ptira of Moshe Rabbeinu, after they finished the Avelos of Moshe Rabbeinu, they begin to enter Eretz Yisrael. They have to cross the Jordan River. That's what's standing between them and entering Eretz Yisrael. And miraculously, Hashem splits the Yarden, the Jordan River. Tremendous miracle. And with the Jordan River splitting, the Yidden are able to enter Eretz Yisrael. I heard once from Chatzkel Abramsky. He asked, why is it that we make such a fuss about Kriyas Yamsuf, and we hear very little about the splitting of the Yarden? And in fact, you find stories where Tanah were able to split the sea. What's the pshat? So he said, Kedarki Bakodesh. He said, the Chiddush of Kriyas Yamsuf was that it happened before Kabbalah Satorah. Klal Yisrael didn't have the Schus of Torah yet. That there could be a Kriyas Yamsuf without the Schus of Torah, that's a Chiddush Atzum. But after the Yidden were Mekabel the Torah ready, they're entering Eretz Yisrael. At that point, it's not such a Chiddush, and that's why we don't find that Chazal made such a big fuss about the splitting of the Yarden as they did at the splitting of the Yamsuf. But either way, Yeshua tells the Yidden that you're going to cross the Yarden is going to split for you. How's it going to play out? So he tells them exactly how it's going to happen. The way it's going to happen is the Kehanim are going to be carrying the Orin, and they're going to enter the Yarden first. Kriyas Yamsuf, Nachshon and Aminadav was the first person to jump in. Here it's going to be the Kehanim are carrying the Orin, and as soon as they enter the Yarden is going to begin to split. All the Yidden should follow the Kehanim. They should go through the Yarden. The Kehanim should remain there until the very end. When they finally make their way out, everything is going to go back to normal. That's the way it's going to play out. Additionally, he instructed them to do two things. Number one, take 12 stones out of the floor of the Yarden and erect them at the place where the Kehanim are standing, at the foot of the Yarden. The reason they should be there is they should be a matzeva, fedoris, a people should always see, this is where this tremendous miracle happened. Additionally, take another 12 stones. One person was appointed from each shevet to carry one of these stones. The Gemara is going to talk a little bit about these stones. Take them with you, bring them to where you are, and those are the stones that ultimately they're going to build the Mizbeach from, the stones that were mentioned very briefly in the Mishnah, and that we're going to talk about a little bit later. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that's going to go into some of the detail of the crossing of the Yarden. Tanu Rabbanan. How did it play out when the Yidden crossed the Yarden? Every day, the Oren would travel behind two of the Golem. We know when the Yidden traveled, there was a very specific sequence of how they were supposed to travel. The 12 Shvatim were divided into 4 Degalim. Ordinarily, there'd be 2 Degalim, then you had the Aron, and then the other 2 Degalim were following the Aron. Vayoyim, today was different. They say at Chilo, the Aron was actually leading. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Hine, Aron HaBris, Adoin Kol HaAretz, Oyve Lufneichem. The Aron HaBris, which is the Adoin Kol HaAretz, is going to be leading all of Klal Yisrael. Incidentally, if you look in the Mefarshei HaTanach, Rashi, the Metzudas, they're all very bothered. It sounds like the Pasuk's referring to the Aron as the Adoin Kol HaAretz. Adoin Kol HaAretz is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Aron is very Kaddish. It was in the Kaddish HaKadoshin. It had the Luchos in it, but it's not Adoin Kol HaAretz. Ayin Shom. B'chol Yom Yom Leviim Noisim Nesa Aron. Every day the Leviim were the ones that carried the Aron. Vayim Nesu Kayanim. Today they weren't carried by the Leviim. They were carried by the Kayanim. Shenem as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says clearly that it was the Kehanim that were carrying the Aron. Tanya went to the Rice. There are 3 times in history where it was the Kehanim, not the Leviim, that carried the Aron. Again, ordinarily, when the Yidden traveled, the Leviim were the ones that had the job to carry the Aron. 3 times in history, an exception was made. It was the Kehanim, not the Leviim. Number one, Keshavu Es HaYarden. This story right here. Ukeshehesibu Es Yerichai. When they encircled Yerichai, ultimately the walls of Yerichai came down right in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. The Kehanim were carrying the Aron at that time. And finally, Ukeshechzirulim Kaim Rashi says, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and they had to take the Aron from where it was and bring it to the Mokam HaMikdash, Su'usha Aron Mashechem, as the Gemara says, they're carrying, not the Sefer Torah, they were actually carrying the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash. Who was the ones that were carrying the Aron? It was the Kehanim that were carrying the Aron. So the Kehanim are carrying the Aron, they go into the Yarden first. As soon as their feet touched the Yarden, Chazru HaMaim L'chareyem, the water started to move, meaning the Yam, the Yarden started to split. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ukevoy Noisei Aron Ad HaYarden, when the people carrying the Aron entered the Yarden, Vayamdu HaMaim, Hayardim Elmalo, Kamu Nedechot, so the water that was coming from upstream down, it all stopped, it came to a halt, and somehow the Yarden split. V'kamu Gevin Shalmaim, how tall was the water? Shnei Masir Mil, Shnei Masir Mil, it was 12 mil by 12 mil. So you have these two Chaymois, these walls of water, how high? 12 mil by 12 mil. What's the magic in that number? Keneged Machni Yisrael. The Rabbi Yehuda says it's Keneged Machni Yisrael, because Machni Yisrael was 12 mil by 12 mil. If you had the arrangement and the stance of all the Degalim, they traveled with Lent, it was 12 by 12, so it was Keneged that the water went 12 by 12. Pashupshat is because we had to clear a space of 12 by 12 to allow the Yidden to be able to go by. That's why you needed a space of 12 by 12, thus the Chayma was 12 by 12. But Amalei Rabbi Lazar told Rabbi Shimon, it's not 100% clear what his question is, but Lidvarech, according to you, Adam Kaloi Mayim Kal, who walks faster, who travels faster? Do people walk quicker, or does the water travel faster? Certainly the water was going to go a lot swifter than were all the Yidden with their entourage and the behemoths and the children and everything that are traveling through the Mayim. So you would think heavy Yomer Mayim Kalim in came by Mayim v'shoit v'noisim. Meaning Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon is telling Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me we cleared up 12 by 12 like this, you have space, let the Yidden go. That's only going to work if the water is going to stay up for a certain period of time. But if the water is not going to stay up for a certain period of time, being that the water travels quicker than the people, it's going to make a wall, it's going to come right back down, and the Yidden are all going to drown. The assumption was that the water wasn't going to stay, and based on that, he asked that it can't be that it only went 12 mil. Elo says, Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shem, Olam, Shem, Yimayin, Nid, Gosh, of Eilin, much higher than 12 mil, 12 mil. How 12? Keepin, Al, Gabi, Keepin. It was literally towers on towers. Yes, and the Shalish, Meos, Mil. It was more than 300 mil. Top Tosfos says, Tamil, read that you don't even have 300 mil all the way up to Shema. Says Tosfos and Hanami, you went through the clouds. That's how high this wall went. It created such a high wall of water that all the Malachim, all the kings in the east and the west were able to see it. As the Pasuk says, that all of the Malachim, Mizrachim, I've heard about what happened. They got really spooked out. They were scared. The Jews are entering the land and there's some pretty cool things that are happening for them as they're entering the land. And that's what the Pasuk means. Vayomos levavam. They got really scared. Va'af Rachav Azoyna. Even Rachav Azoyna heard about this. And she said, L'shluchei Yeshua, Ki shamanu es asher hoivish Hashem es me yamsuf. She tells the Meraglim that we heard about what Hashem did to the Yamsuf. Now, incidentally, take a look at the Mashah. It sounds like she's talking about the Yamsuf. She's not talking about the Yarden. Yamsuf, that's the Red Sea. That's what happened in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu when they left Mitzrayim. This is already a whole different splitting of the sea. ayin shon v'ksiv, and the pasuk says v'nishma v'yomas levavenu v'loy kama oid v'goymer. So you see, says Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that it wasn't just 12 mil by 12 mil. That would have been nice, but this was a lot more impressive. This was 300 mil. All the malchim mizrachim might have been able to see it. Everybody was scared about it. Again, just like after Kriyas Yamsov, as we say in Az Yashir, Shama Amin Yergazin Cholachas Yoshe Pelashes. He had the same idea here as well. Again, v'yomas levavam, and this is all along the theme of what Hashem tells Yeshua in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, that everything I did for Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to do for you as well. He even split the sea for him, even that. And he instilled fear into all the nations on behalf of Yeshua, just like he had did on behalf of Moshe. The Brisa continues. While they were in the Yarden, Yeshua turns to Yidden and he tells them, "Du'u, I want you to know that you're crossing the Yarden right now. Hashem's performing an incredible miracle on your behalf. However, it's happening on a condition. The condition is that when you enter the land, you're going to find people from different cultures, the Kananim, the Shiva, Ha'amim, that are living in the land. Then you're going to have no choice but to get rid of them." Meaning, it's not enough that you can live side by side, but I won't be impressed by their culture. I'll do my thing, let them do their thing. No, that's not going to work. What you need to do is leisachaya kol neshama hachrim tachrimim. You have to literally get rid of them. And it's amanas kain that you're going in. Now, where do you see that? There was such a tanai made in the actual Yarden. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'hirashtem es kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipnechem. It's a pasuk in Parshas Maaseh. So Yeshua tells them, im atem oisam kein mutav. If you're willing to make this Kabbalah right now in the Yarden, that's great. Vimlav, if you're not willing to make this Kabbalah, boy, mayim v'shoytven oisechem. The mayim is going to come and it's going to drown you. May oisechem, it's a funny lashon. Oisechem, oisi v'eschem. Not only are you going to drown, says Yeshua, I'm going to drown as well. Yeshua is acknowledging that his whole yichus is the fact that he's the manag of Klal Yisrael. And just like Hashem tells Moshe, leich, raid, kishiche samchon, Chazal say, raid migdulascha, after the chat egel, Hashem tells Moshe, if there's no Klal Yisrael, you're going to lose your madregas as well. Yeshua is acknowledging the same thing. Oisi v'eschem, we're all going to die. Oidem yarden, again, they're still in the yarden. Yeshua tells them, haribu luchem ish evanachas al shichmoy, lemispar, shifte Yisrael. I want each one of you to pick up a stone. There were people, if you look and say, Yeshua, one person of each shevet was designated. He was the one that was going to do Hagbah. He was going to pick up this one stone. He was going to have to take it with him. And what are you going to do with this stone? It should be a matzeva, an ois, for future generations. This will always be the testament to the fact that the Yidden crossed the Yarden through tremendous miracles. That was the first set of stones that we mentioned in the introduction. Oidem b'yardin, again, they're still in the yardin. Amalem, Yeshua tells them, Sulachem mizeh b'toicha yardin, mimatzav ragle ha'kehanim, hochin shtem esrei avonim. Take another 12 stones. Those stones don't leave in the yardin, those stones are coming along for the ride. V'avartem oisim imochem, you should take them into Eretz Yisrael with you. V'hinachtem oisim imaloin ha'shatelino b'yalayla. And you should leave them in the miloin, in the area where we're going to sleep tonight. This is the day they're actually crossing the yardin. So the first night that we're in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to leave the stones in a specific place. And I would have thought wherever they went, they had to take these stones along with them. Talmud Loimash, Atalino by Alayla. No, you can leave them there. We'll see more about that in the coming days. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Abba Chalafto, Rabbi Eliezer ben Masya, Vechananya ben Chachinoi, Omdo Aloysen Avonim. That the following three Tanom, they all saw these stones that the Yidden carried with them through the Yarden. The Shiarum Kolachas Va'achas Kula Karbam Sa. They said each one weighed about 40 Sa. Sa is a measurement of volume, so the weight of 40 Sa of water, that's how much each one of these stones weighed. The Gemiri, and we have a Masori, that Te'una Demadli Inish Lakasve, that a person can carry by himself, Tilsa de Te'une Hafa, a third of what he can carry if somebody else is helping him. So 1 + 1 is not 2. If you can carry 40 sa'ah by yourself, that means if somebody is helping you, you yourself are going to be able to carry 3 × 40, which is 120. So why is this significant? Mikanat mechashev le'eshkol. From here we can learn how heavy the cluster of grapes was when the Meraglim entered Eretz Yisrael, right? You remember the story, the Meraglim entered Eretz Yisrael, and they see the fruit, and they flip out. Wow, this fruit is so huge, and they come back, they tell the Yidden, it's part of the Lashon Hara. They said about Eretz Yisrael is. That just like the Peres are Meshunim, so too the people are Meshunim, that this is a very dangerous place that Hashem is taking us to. How big were these grapes? You can figure it out based on this back of the envelope arithmetic. It says that two Meraglim carried it with a pole. There were two people carrying each side of the pole, and that's how they carried the Eshkol of Anam. If it says a pole, obviously it's two. Why do I need the Torah to tell me two? To say it wasn't just one pole, it was actually two poles. Rabbi Yitzchak took it a step further. Rashi says he doesn't have a riot to this from the Pasuk, but he backed into it. We'll see in a minute how. Turtini for turtini to turtini. Not just one pole, but two poles. Not just one load, but two loads. So there were two poles, but it was two poles times two. So really there were four poles, two people carrying on to each pole, so you end up with eight people. How did he come up to that? He came up as follows, because there were 12 miraglim, and echad nasa rimoin. We know that one of the miraglim, the Torah says, carried a rimoin. The rimoin, the pomegranate, was so big that it required one miragle to carry the rimoin by himself. The echad nasa teino, one of them carried it to eino. Yeshua v'kol v'le nasu klum, they didn't carry anything, so if you have 12 minus 4, you're left with 8, the other 8 people must have carried the eshkol. So push it, if you look at the Torah Shabbat, it sounds like there were two people. There was a mite, there was a pole, each one carried one side of the pole, you had the cluster of grapes hanging, and that's how they carry the grapes. But Teresh Baal Peh tells us that it's Shnayim B'moit, it's really two poles, and it's two sets of two poles, thus it's four poles, two person per pole, you end up with a, why didn't Yeshua and Kalev carry anything? Iba Yisei Mishum Dechshivi, it could be because they were Chashiv, the Iba Yisei Mishloi Hoya Ba'Yisei Eitza, or it could be another reason why is, because the whole idea of taking these Peres was to tell Klal Yisrael, that just like the Peres on Mishunim, so to the people, the whole land is Mishunim. This is not a place we want to have anything to do with. So the whole theme of the Peres was part of the plot that the Miraglim had, being that Yeshua and Kalev weren't included in the plot, that's why they weren't involved in this situation, that's why they weren't carried. Pligi Barav Amiv Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So going back to the Machlekes that we had in the beginning of the Yomit, Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, how tall the waters in the Yardane rose? Was it Yud Beis Mil, or was it Shalosh Meyos Mil? So there was a Machlekes Amirayim, how to understand the Machlekes Tanoim. Pligi Barav Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Chadam, one said, different. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that said that it was Yud Beis Mil, it's Kechani Asam Avu. It's because the Yidden crossed the Yarden in the same formation that they camped. And being that they camped Yud Beis Mil on Yud Beis Mil, so the water had to clear up on Yud Beis Mil on Yud Beis Mil, that's how you come up with a wall of Yud Beis Mil on Yud Beis Mil. Blazbar Shimon's question was that the water travels faster than the people, so it doesn't really play out. But either way, that's the Pshan of Rabbi Yehuda. The Divi Rabbi Blazbar Shimon, Bezeh Achazeh Avru. Rabbi Blazbar Shimon argues simply because he holds they didn't cross in the way they camped. It was one after another, so there's no methodology in Yud Beis Mil. Yud Beis Mil makes sense if they cross the way they camped, but if they didn't cross the way they camped anyways, so it makes no sense Yud Beis Mil. Therefore, he has a whole other number. That's how one Amora explained the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Machlokes was simply how they crossed the Yarden. What was the formation? Was it Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil, or was it single file, one after another? The Chad Omar, another man the Omar said, Bein Maru, Bein Mar, Kichani Yosem. Everybody agrees, they crossed in the same formation that they camped. So what then is the Machlokes, whether Yud Beis Mil was fine, or it had to be much taller, Shalish, Meyos Mil, Mar Sava Adam Kal, Mar Sava Mayim Kal. And the Machlokes is, what travels faster? Does water travel faster than people, or maybe these people were able to travel faster than the water? Binas, I would assume. Maybe there was some sort of Kvitzis Haderech. We have a Machlokes Amayram. How exactly to understand the Machlokes Tanon? Either way, we started off Perek Ve'elun Amarim, that's talking about things that I said B'loshan HaKodesh and things that I said B'choloshan. We mentioned that the brachas and kolos by Har Grizim and Har Evel was said B'loshan HaKodesh. When were the Yidim on Har Grizim and Har Evel? The day they crossed the Yarden, the day that they entered Eretz Yisrael. So we digressed and we talked a little bit about the day the Yidim crossed the Yarden. We got into that. From the stones that the Yidim carried out of the Yarden, we know how much a person can carry. From there, we did some back-of-the-envelope arithmetic to figure out how heavy the cluster of grapes was that the Meraglim carried with them. Incidentally, we never spoke that out. The point was that if a person by himself can carry 40, and when he carries with somebody else, he can carry three times that amount, which is 120, and there were eight Meraglim that had to carry the Eshkol, so that means eight times 120, it was 960. Now, we know 960 is a Jewish number, the Bnei Yisachar. We've spoken a lot about that in the past, but here you have a number, hashtag 960, that was the piece that we didn't speak out. But either way, so we're talking about the Meraglim, so B'derech Agav, we're going to have a whole plot Gemara now about the Meraglim. So this is Chumash Torah for Parsha Shlach, but either way, we're going to digress now, and we're going to have a lot of Gemara's Divrei Agada. Some of it we know, some of it maybe we don't know, but either way, nice Divrei Agada regarding the Meraglim. And the Gemara begins with the first pasuk in Parsha Shlach, which is of course where the Parsha of the Meraglim is mentioned, and that is, the story of the Meraglim begins with Hashem coming to Moshe, and he tells Moshe, Shlach lecha anoshim. Send Meraglim. Now, Poshet Shlach Lecha Anoshim sounds like a tzivoy. Hashem's commanding Moshe. He's telling him what he wants him to do. Amar Ishlokish, Shlach Lecha Midai. That's not what it means. The word Lecha needs to be interpreted as midaitcha. It wasn't a tzivoy. He told Moshe, if you want, I give you permission to do it. You want, you can do it. But it's not a tzivoy. And how does he know that? Said Reish Lakish. Because v'chi adam zeh boir chelik ro la'atzmai. Hashem knew what was going to happen as a result of the Meraglim, and he knew how it was going to play out, and he knew that it wasn't going to play out in a positive way. So why would Hashem have instructed Moshe to do something that wasn't going to have a good ending? He would have never done that. That's what the pasuk means when it says Vayitav be'einai hadavar. Moshe says, "Even came to me, they want the Meraglim, and I thought it was a very good idea." For it's Reish Lakish l'shitasai be'einai. I thought it was a good idea. But I knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself did not think it was a good idea. So this. This is Rashi right at the beginning of Parsha Shlach, and this is the first Gemara here in the Divrei Agada regarding the Meraglim, that although Hashem seems to have instructed Moshe to send Meraglim, really it wasn't a tzivoy. Shlach lecha, the word lecha means midaitcha, ani eini mitzava oischa, tirtze if you want shlach, but I'm not giving you a tzivoy. I saw years ago in a Sefer Imre Shefa from Shlomo Kluger, yes, the nice aura, that here Reish Lakish darshins the word shlach lecha, that it means midaitcha, ani eini mitzava oischa. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha miladcha, el ha'oretz asher arecha. And there Rashi teaches the word Lecha, lahana'oscha u'letevascha. So his ha'ora was that why here does the word Lecha mean midaitcha, and over there in Parshas Lech Lecha does the word mean lahana'oscha u'letevascha. So he says a very nice pshat, al derech drush, the whole Sefer Imre Shefer is a drush type of Pirush al HaTorah. So al derech drush, he says that it could be, although Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha said, la'noscha l'tevascha, really there's a biur in midaitcha as well. And he says that based on the idea that we know that the Sfarim say, Chazal say, schar mitzvah, that people shouldn't do mitzvahs for the reward that they're going to get in this world. There are certain mitzvahs that Hashem does reward a person, the Talmud Torah can get kulam in this world. But ordinarily, the rule is schar mitzvah b'hayam olekah. Rav Shlomo Kluger says that I was marich in one of my svarim that that's only true for a mitzvah v'aisa. An ain a mitzvah v'aisa. If you do something that you're not obligated to do, there Hashem is going to reward you even on this world. So said Rav Shlomo Kluger, it's true that Chazal said la no'ascha v'tevascha, but really lecha means also midaitcha, because the only way Avram can have la noscha l'tevascha by observing the tzivoy of lech lecha is if it's midaitcha, if it's not a real tzivoy. Because if lech lecha is a tzivoy, and Avram's going to listen to Hashem, he can't get rewarded for listening to Hashem, because char mitzvah b'ayam alecha. The teretz is lecha means, like Rashi said in Parashat Shlach, like the Gemara says here, Masechet Soita, it means midaitcha. Ani eini mitzava ischa. If it's ani eini mitzava ischa, then it could be la noscha l'tevascha. So Shlomo Kluger says that it's really all one and the same. Lecha means midaitcha, al yedei midaitcha, you can have lahanoscha u'letevascha. That's a nice pshal derech josh. But I saw in the Aznayim L'Torah, he says, a dover nifla ad l'mori. He says that shlach lecha anoshim, same ha'ara as Rav Shlomo Kluger. Why does lecha over here mean midaitcha, and in Parshas Lech Lecha we find that it means lahanoscha u'letevascha? So the Lutzker Rav said that it could be that this word lecha also was lahanoscha l'tevascha shal Moshe. Why? Had the Yidden not sinned with the chet of the Meraglim, the Yidden would have entered Eretz Yisrael year one. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to enter Eretz Yisrael. If the Yidden enter Eretz Yisrael right in the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be nifter right in the beginning. He's not going to have the opportunity to be the manig of Klal Yisrael during the 40 years that ultimately they were in the Midbar. Because the Yidden ultimately sinned with the Chet and the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu's death got pushed off 40 years, and as a result, he was a manik of Klal Yisrael for an extra 40 years. So said the Lutzki Rav, it's true, the Shlach Lecha means Midaitcha, but Chazal, I am Ponim LaTorah. And in Parshas Lech Lecha, it means LaHanoscha LaTevoscha. There was a kiyum in LaHanoscha LaTevoscha here as well. Because from Moshe Rabbeinu, on a personal level, he got to be the manik for Klal Yisrael for another 40 years. Very heavy. But I'll just, he concludes with a caveat. Elosha al Karchach, lo yada Moshe Esarem, is azeh shalucha. It's Pasha Moshe didn't understand it. Shalu yada, hoya haraya mehem no moichel al chayav, ubavad sheyichya am Yisrael, shahitzi mi Mitzrayim, shaharei loy pamachad gila nuch. It wouldn't have been the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Moshe didn't understand that. He didn't realize that in the Shlach Lecha was hidden a lahanoscha l'tevascha. But in reality, says the Lutzki Rav, there was a lahanoscha l'tevascha because it's because of the events of the Meraglim that Moshe gets to leave Klal Yisrael for another 40 years. Either way, that's the first Chazal. The Gemara continues along. V'yachberu lanu esa aret. So the Yidden come to Moshe and they tell Moshe v'atikruvu neilai kulchem, I'm reading from the side, v'atoymru nishlecha anoshim lefaneinu v'yachberu lanu esa aret. V'yachberu literally means let's go spy, let's go see what's doing in Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Chiya Rabba, Meraglimin eschavnu elo leboishta shel Eretz Yisrael, that you see from the get-go, even the Yidden, this is the Yidden talking, they want to send Meraglim into Eretz Yisrael. They had really bad intentions. What were the intentions? Busha, to expose Eretz Yisrael in a negative light. How do you know? Ksivach, it says v'yachbru lanos aretz. V'sivasim, and it says v'chafra alabanu v'yishachamo. You find the word v'chafra means busha. V'yachbru is a play on words. It means milosham busha. V'elu shmoisam. Pasuk continues and mentions the names of the Meraglim. Who were they? Lamate Ruvain, Shamua ben Zachor. Amar Rab Yitzchak, Dovah Zemeseris B'yadeinu Me'aviseinu. Meraglim Hashem Maseim Nikro. The Meraglim got their names, they earned their names based on their deeds. Va'anu loy olsi B'yadeinu Ela Echad. Meaning, it was because of their actions that they were named what they were named. Somehow hidden in their names was their attributes, but it's all over our head, said Rabbi Yitzchak. We don't really know how to interpret in their names who exactly they were, the exception of one, and that is Sesur ben Michael. He's the only one. Sesur, why was he called Sesur? Shesosar Maisov Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he hid and he denied Maisov Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Eretz Yisrael is the Zavas Chol of Dvash, and they come back from Eretz Yisrael, they give a horrible report. He was called Ben Michael Sheasa Atzmei Mach. He made HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol Mach. He said, there's no way we're going to be able to defeat these people. Yeah, the Mitzrayim split the sea, whatever. But this is something already that we're not going to be able to do. So he made HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mach, thus Sesur Ben Michael. In his name was hidden these bad midas. Om Rabbi Yechanan, Afanu Neim. I have one more. Nachbi Ven Vafsi. Nachbi Shehechvi Dvarav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He hid the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said it's wonderful. It really was wonderful, and he hid it. They didn't tell the Yidden about all the wonderful things. Now, why Vavsi Miloshen Shepisa Al Midoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rashi says, Dileg, he jumped over the words of Hashem. Not sure exactly what that means. Shalei Amran Kashrim. The point is, he didn't say it the way it was. Vayalu Benegev Vayovoi Ad Chevroin. So now they're continuing. They're going Benegev through the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, and they arrive at Chevroin. Vayovoi Umi Boilei. Vayovoi is a Loshen Yochid. Shouldn't have said that they arrived at Chevroin. Amar Rava. Rava said, Malamet Shapirish Kol Me'atzas Meraglim. That Kolev himself separated himself from the Meraglim, and he was the one that was Vayavayat Chevroi Vaholach, and he went Vinishtateach al Kivrei Ovis. He went to the Kivrei Ovis, Amalah, and he said, Avoisai, Big Shualei Rachamim. He turns to the Ovis and he says, Daven for me, Shei Notzim Atzas Meraglim. I went on this mission, I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. In the meantime, they have horrible intentions in mind, and I don't want to fall in. So he goes to Marasa Machpelo, he goes to Chevron, and he goes to the Ovis Akdashim, and he says, Daven for me, Big Shualei Rachamim, Shei Notzim. What about Yehoshua? So he continues. Yehoshua, he's going to be okay. Why? Because in fact, because Moshe, his Rebbe took care of him. Moshe took care of him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Vayikra Moshe, Rohoshea bin Nun, Yehoshua, Koyoshiacha, Me'atzas Meraglim. He added the letter Yud to his name. Yeshua was known as Hoshea. At this point on, he'll be known as Yehoshua. So he already had a tefillah from his Rebbe, Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim. But me, I don't have that tefillah. So therefore, he was concerned. So when it says Vayavayat Chevron, it's referring to Kalev himself. That's what the pasuk means when it says Va'abdi Kalev Ekev Hoysa Ruach Acheres. So the pasuk's on the side. It's for that reason. So the pasuk says that I'm going to give, Hashem says, I'm going to give Kalev the city that he had gone to. Now the city that Kalev ends up getting is Chevron. It's Psukim in Nach. Where had he gone to Chevron? It's this pasuk. Chevron is a remez. It's referring to Kalev. So Kalev sees that it's not playing out with the Meraglim the way he was hoping it was. He gets very scared. So he separates himself from the rest of the Meraglim. He goes to Chevron. He davens by Kivrei Yovois. Why not Yeshua? Because Yeshua already had a tefillah from his Rebbe. And that's exactly what Kalev tells in his, says in his tefillah, that Yeshua was taken care of. But me, what am I going to do? It's Yedua, the Targum Yonason on this pasuk, Vayikra Moshe Lohishea bin Nun Yehoshua. Why did he do it? So the Targum says, Katchoma anvesenuse de Yeshua. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Yeshua was a real Anav, he named him Yeshua. So the question is, what's the pshat that he was an Anav? So Pasha, it sounds like he saw that Yeshua was an Anav. He was very humble and he was concerned that the Midah of Anava wouldn't give him the fortitude that he would need to stand up against the Meraglim, and it's for that reason that Hashem, that Moshe felt that he needed a special Shmirah. Kalev didn't need that Shmirah. But Yeshua was an Anav, he was more humble, he was a Tomim. For that reason he felt that that's what he needed. But there's many Pshatim that are said, every Chumash Sefer, a Parsha Shlach, has something to say on what's the connection with Moshe Rabbeinu seeing that Yeshua is an Anav, and it's for that reason that he adds a Yud to his name. One well-known Pshat that the Chassidim say over from the Oy of Yisrael, the Abderuv, is he said a Dover Nifla. He said that La'asad Lavoi, by Tchias HaMesim, so the Mesim are all going to stand up. How are they going to get up? Who's going to get up? First, all going to get up in one shot. So the Abderuv said it's going to happen based on the Aleph base. That depending on what letter, alphabetical order. So if your name is Avram, it starts with an Aleph, for example, you're going to get up before someone whose name is Baruch, etc., etc. It's all going to be based on the Aleph base. So said the Abderuv that Moshe wanted to add a Yud to Yeshua's name. But he was concerned that Yeshua Benu would be very disappointed because till now my name was Hoshea. It started with a hey. Now you're adding a Yud. It's going to start with a Yud. I'm going to be further back in the line. My Tchias HaMesim. My Tchias HaMesim is going to happen a little bit later. So he was concerned. But come on, Vesanusid Yeshua Benu. When he saw Yeshua Benu was an Anav, and he said, it's Yodua. That the Anavim are the ones that are going to stand up before everybody when it comes to Tchias HaMesim. So he realized that for Yeshua Ben Nun it's a moot point, because he's anyways an Anav, so it doesn't matter if his name starts with a Hey, or if it starts with a Yud, he's going to stand up whenever it is that he's supposed to stand up. So this is a Chassidish Avertel that the Chassidim have been saying over for 200 years in the name of the Oy of Yisrael, the Abderuv. But I just want to tell you that the base Elikim, this is the Mabit, this is a Rishon, the Beis Elikim, or a very early Achren, says the same exact thing. In Shara Yesoidis Perik Nunvav, at the very end, it's Tav Kuv Vav, if you want to look it up. In the Beis Elikim, he says, he's talking about Tchias HaMesim and how it's going to play out, and I'll just read to you one excerpt. Ki Seder HaTchia Tia B'Seder Oisiyois HaAleph Beis. Mi Sheshmoy Maschu Ba'Aleph Yichya Tchilo. V'mkein Odem HaRishoyin Yih HaRishoyin. Uben Avram Rishon LaAvis. Avram is going to be the first of the Avis because his name starts with an Aleph. The Efshar, and then he adds, Ki b'chol dar sheyakum yiseder zeh, abolo yakdim dar ledar akoydim loy. So there's going to be a schos kedima for the previous generations. The earlier the dar, the earlier they're going to get up. But within each generation, it's going to be based on the Seder, the Aleph base. It's a Chassidus Shavart that's said over from the Oy of Yisrael, but as far as at least the first part of the Oy of Yisrael, that the Aleph base, that's already mentioned in terms of the more of an Anav you are, the earlier you're going to get up, so that's already a separate discussion. But that first part, it sounds like a tremendous Chiddush, but either way, it's something that's mentioned right here in the Mabit, in the Beis Elikim. Moving along. Hashem, Achimon, Sheshai, V'talmai. So, we mentioned Chevron, because Vayavayat Chevron, so we talk a little bit about Chevron. So what happened when they came to Chevron? They see these four giants, Achimon, Sheshai, Talmai. Rashi in Parshas Chayesara says that one of the reasons that Hebron was called Kiryas Arba was because of these four giants. So apparently these were very well-known people at the time. And these are the giants that he sees. Says the Gemara, why did they have these names? Achima Meyumim Shabachet. He was the most chashev of his brothers. Sheshai, Shemesim Esa'aretz Kishchasais. Because wherever he stuck his foot, it created a ditch in the ground. Talmai, Shemesim Esa'aretz Klamim Klam. And he literally plowed as he walked. Either way, these were big gentlemen. Davar Achar, another pshat, Achimon, Bona Anos, Sheshai, Bona Alosh, Talmai, Bona Talbush. It's based on the cities that they had built. Yelidei HaAnok, they were referred to as Yelidei HaAnok. What does that mean? Shemanikim Chama became Masim. Because when they stood, the sun looked like it was their necklace. They were really big. The Chevra in Sheva Shonim Nivnasa. The Pasuk describing Chevron says that it was created 7 years before. What's the Pasuk in its entirety? Vayalu Banegev, Vayovayat Chevron. V'sham Achimon Sheshai V'talmai Yelidei HaAnok V'Chevron Sheva Shonim Nimnasa Lifnei Tzayim Mitzrayim. Now, Pasha, the way you read it is, Chevron was built, just historically, from a chronological perspective, 7 years before Tzayan, which was a city in Mitzrayim, was built. So it says the Gemara, my Nimnasa, what does this Pasuk mean? Elim Nimnasa Ma'am, does it mean literally? Chevron was 7 years older, it's a fun fact, than Mitzrayim. Is that what it means? Can't be. Because why? Efsha Adam Boyne Bayas Leblein Kotam Kaidim Leblein Kotam. Does it make sense that somebody would set up his younger son before he sets up his older son? Dichsev, what does that have to do? Because the Pasuk says, Ubnei Cham, Kush, Umitzrayim, Ufut, Uknaan. Now, Canaan were the ones that had Eretz Yisrael. Canaan, that was the Eretz HaKanani. He's the one who has Eretz Yisrael. That means Chevron is in the Nachla of Canaan. Tzoyan is in Mitzrayim. Just from the Seder HaPasek, Chum's four sons, Cush, Mitzrayim, Foot, and Canaan, so you see that Mitzrayim is older than Canaan. So then why would Chevron be 7 years older than Tzoyan, which is in Mitzrayim? That's the Gemara's kasha. Elo, it must be that that's not what the pasuk means. Shahoisa mevuno al echad mishiva b'tzoyan. It means it was seven times more chashev, seven times more fertile than was Tzoyan. Ve'en l'chad terashim chal Eretz Yisrael yes mechetz. Zok the Gemara, make a cheshman. The least fertile land in Eretz Yisrael is Chevron. The Kavri Bashichi. How do we know that? Because that's where they used to bury all the mason. Now, you're not going to use good land to bury mason. So obviously, this was inferior real estate, and that's where they buried all the mason. Ve'en l'cham u'la b'chal ha'aratzois. Yes, in the Eretz Mitzrayim. And there's no better land in the entire world than Mitzrayim. Shenemar kigan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It's referred to as the Garden of Hashem. Ve'en l'cham u'la b'chal. And the greatest city, the most fertile city within the most fertile land is Tzoyan. That's where all the ministers lived. So naturally, it must have been a good place to live. Chevron is seven times greater than was Tzoyan. So the purpose of this pasuk is not to tell me a historical fact, but simply to tell me how chashuv Eretz Yisrael was. That Chevron, which is the least fertile land in Eretz Yisrael, is seven times more fertile than Tzoyan, which is the most fertile piece of land in the most fertile country in the world. That's the whole point. Now, the Gemara Agav Urchi said that Chevron is the least fertile land in the country. How do you know that? The Kavri Bashichvi. Because that's where they used to bury the mason. And being that that's where they used to bury the mason, that's a proof somehow that it's the least fertile land. Rashi's lashon is v'teida detroshini, a raya that it's not fertile. Ve'ena ru'uyu l'peiros kechol shara aret l'fichoch yichadu alik for his mason. That was a place that was always miyuchad for the mason. Now this is interesting because we know that the avos are buried in Chevron, the Maris HaMachpelah. But that's just one very famous landmark. The fact that Chevron was one big Beis HaKvaris, that's not something that really we ever knew. This Gemara, l'fichach yichadu al-kfuras mason, the Gemara, and even a little bit more clear in Rashi, would seem to suggest that this is always the way it was. I'll tell you something interesting. The Sefer Megadim Chadashim in Parsha Shlach, he brings two letters that he found. The first is from the Ramban. The Ramban lived in Yerushalayim. Ramban made Aliyah. He lived in Spain, and he made Aliyah. He wrote a letter to his son. And in his letter, he writes as follows. Panay mu'adois l'leches l'chevron. I'm living in Yerushalayim, but I've already made plans to leave Yerushalayim and to go to Chevron. And the reason I'm going to Chevron is lachsev li kever ha'ir kivrois avisenu, because that's where avisenu were buried, and I want to buy a kever in Chevron. So you see that the Ramban felt that for some reason he wants to be buried in Chevron. You think buried in Yerushalayim. He wants Ar Zeisim, Ar Menuchos. That's not where he wants to be buried. The Ramban writes, it's Ha'ir Kivroi Zavisenu. Pashuti means the obvious Akdoshim. But he tells his son, I'm going to buy a plot over there. Incidentally, if you have the right tour guide, they'll take you to the Ramban's caver or where they think the Ramban is buried. In the Mokim, right by the Ma'ar Sanachpel. The Ramban is buried over there. So this is something that he already wrote in a letter to his son. But then he brings a letter that's a little bit more stark. A letter from Rabbi Vadya Bar Tanura. Toich Dvarv, he says as follows. The Gam Mesiris Biad Kol Ancheya Oretz. Ki Akfura B'Chevron Toivon Bibi Yerushalayim. That it's better to be buried in Chevron than it is to be buried in Yerushalayim. So he's Nitzayin, a beautiful Ma'ar Malkin to this. It's Rabbeinu B'chaya. We know that the Ma'ar Samachpeva was in Chevron. Chevron is referred to in the Torah as Kiryas Arba. Why is it called the Kiryas Arba? Says Rabbeinu Bachya, I don't know what this means, but just the words. V'yutolchin loy mar oid, b'shem Kiryas Arba hi Chevron. Hi nekras Chevron al shem, shekol akobur sham, anyone that's buried in Chevron, nafshoi mischaberes lemaylo b'irolikim, his nefesh, his soul, somehow connects itself to the irolikim im dalid machne shchina. With the four machne shchina. So there are four machne shchina. If you're buried in Chevron, you somehow connect. Your nefesh is connected to the Dalet Machne Shechina. And here's the punchline. Zok Rabbeinu Bachya. The loy lechinam chamdua Ovei Sa'olam. It wasn't for nothing that the Ovei Sa'olam wanted to be buried in Chevron. Elo shem yisham zoichos haneshomis leschaber lesharoshon shukisei akovoid vezeo kiryas arba hi Chevron. It's the four Machnois Hashchina. Either way, he sucked to Rabbeinu Bachya. Loy lechinam that the others want to be buried in Chevron. They could have been buried in Yerushalayim. They could have been buried in Tzfas, Miron Tveria. They could have been buried in other places where there were tremendous tzaddikim that were buried. But there was a cheshbon over here that they wanted to be buried, Dafkin Chevron, because they knew this soid, Chevron is Kiryas Arba, and a nefesh that's buried in Chevron somehow connects itself to the Dalet Machne Shechina. Either way, you have a letter from the Ramban that's a little implicit, the letter from Vadya Bar Tanura, which is a little bit more clear, and a beautiful tushtal, this Rabbeinu B'chaya in Parashas Chayesara, that there was an idea to be buried in Chevron, and we have our Gemara, and this Rashi over here, which seems to suggest that it was a mokim that was meyuchin. Now you read the Gemara, it sounds like it was simply because it wasn't fertile land. So you couldn't grow corn or dig for oil, so they buried in Eretz Yisrael. They buried in Chevron. But the reality is, as you see here from Rabbeinu B'chaya, that the Soidois Amukim, in explaining why it is that Minig Yisrael was that people were buried in Chevron. But there's another very interesting thing that comes out in this Gemara right here. And this is something that actually is an Arichus Gedoyla Adam Oid. And maybe we'll do part one now and we'll save part two for another day. And that is, Kolev goes to Ma'aras HaMachpela because he realizes that he got involved with a bad Chevron. And he wants to get out of this Chabura somehow. So what does he do? He goes to the Ma'aras HaMachpela to Davin. And he turns to the Ovis and he tells the Ovis, Avoisai, bikshu alei rachamim, she'einotzam atzas meragim. Daven for me that I should be saved from that atzas meragim. Now this idea of going to Kivrei Tzadikim and davening by Kivrei Tzadikim is something that has a lot of precedence. Number one, Rashi in Parashas Vayechi. Rashi in Parashas Vayechi. Yaakov tells Yosef that you probably are wondering, and you may even have time, is why I buried your mother Rachel on the side of the road. Why I didn't bring her at least into Eretz Yisrael? He's Chevron. So why is she buried on the side of the road? He says, I'm going to tell you why. Because when Nevzrad, Nevzrad, right, Fatrab in the evening. So because that's the whole Vani. Because one day Nevzrad is going to send the Yidden all out of Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be on their way. They're going to need a place to daven. Rachel, Mavaka, Albanel. And that's the reason I did it. So there's an idea of going to Kivrei Tzadikim and davening by Kivrei Tzadikim. Another very interesting effect. Fascinating Ma'ar Malkin that we accidentally glossed over in the end of the first parak in Masechta Soita, right here, Daf Yedal Raman Aleph. It's not in the Gemara, it's in the Agoyas HaBach. The Bach includes it in the Gemara. Right, we had a whole Agadah to Gemara about the fact that we have no idea where Moshe Rabbeinu is. Even Moshe doesn't know where he's buried. We have no idea where Moshe is buried. The Bach says as follows, Omer Rab Chomer Rab Chanino, Mipnei Ma Nistati Kirvah Shal Moshe Me'enei Basu V'dam. Why is it that we have no idea? This is an unbelievable Bach. Why is it that we have no idea where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed one day. Uli Goles es Yisrael meyartzam, and Klai Yisrael are going to go into Goles. That he was concerned was Hashem that Shema Yavayu the Kfura of Yisrael Moshe. The Yidden are going to be in Goles. They're going to go to the Kfura of Moshe, and you know what's going to happen? Ba'isa Shah. The Yamdu Bibchi, and they're gonna cry. V'yischanenu l'Moshe. V'yomer l'Moshe Rabbeinu. They're gonna say, Moshe, amoy betfilo badenu. Get up and daven for us. You know what Moshe's gonna do? V'oimen Moshe is gonna get up, umavatel asagzeira. And he's gonna have the koyach to be mavatel the gzeira. B'nei shachavivim tzadikim b'misoson, yoyse b'chayeyem. Because tzadikim are beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'misoson, even more so when they're alive. Shekein ata moitze. Look at the history of Moshe. B'sha, shahoy yisro b'midbar. V'sarcho b'maseyem. V'osu egel. Kotzav HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisro. V'omal Moshe herif yimene v'ashmideh. Kama tzadikim hoi boi sador. How many tzadikim were there in that door? The kama chasidim. Moshe, Aharon, Yeshua, Eldad, Medad, Ayin, Skenim, Vishar, Chachomim, V'tamidim, V'loi Asa, B'shvilam. And none of them were able to poil anything. However, V'loi Bita, like Zera, Elvish, V'Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had a special ability to mevatel the Gzeres of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that if the Yidden would know where Moshe Rabbeinu's kever is, he'd never be able to bring Gzeres on Klal Yisrael. Because the minute there's a Gzera, people will run to Moshe Rabbeinu's kever, and whatever the Gzera is for a Yochid or for a Tzibah, Moshe Rabbeinu will stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way he did 40 years in the Midbar, he'll be able to mevatel any Gzera. It's for that reason, in order for the world to play out the way Hashem wants the master plan to be, there can't be yediyah where Moshe Rabbeinu's kever is. Because if we know where Moshe Rabbeinu's kever is, there'll never be a churban, there'll never be anything. Nothing will be able to happen. Because the great leader, the Raya de Mehemna, like the Zayda said, Moshe Rabbeinu will never allow anything to happen. He's not going to be able to play out. That's why we can't know what Moshe's kever is. So you have our Gemara here, Soito Lamedal Ramadbeis. You have Soito Yudal Ramadal to Zagoy Sabach. Rashi Parshas Vayechi. Vikohena Rabbis. There's many, many, many Gemaras and Chazals where you find this idea of going to Kibbeit Tzadikim, davening by Kibbeit Tzadikim, so that the Yidden should be able to have Yeshua. Now the truth is that this is something that's actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. There's precedent in Halacha. There are times where the Halacha mandates a person to go to Kibbeit Tzadikim. You have it in Hilchis. Oh, we'll start with Hilchis Rosh Hashanah. Tisha B'Av, which one? Hilchis Tisha B'Av. Simit Tov Kuf Nun Tes in Sivkot and Yud in Aruch Chaim. The Mechaber says, V'holchin ala kforos miyad shahulchin mi Beis HaKnesses. This is on Tisha B'Av. So you go to Shul to Davin, you leave the Beis HaKnesses, and where do you go? You go miyad from the Beis HaKnesses, you go to the Beis HaKforos. So on Tisha B'Av, it's brought down, it's a Ramah, Hilchis Tisha B'Av Simen Tov Kuf Nun Tes, that there's an Inyan to go to Kforim, to Davin by Kforim. It's mentioned again in Hilchis Tainus, in Simen Tov Kuf Pei. There, Simen Tov, it's mentioned in Hilchas Tainis that on Tanesim, back in the day when there used to be Geyser, very special Tanesim, because it hadn't rained or something along those lines, that's something that they used to do. And then finally, like Dovi said, you have in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, says the Ramah, Yeish Mekoymois Noegim Leilach Ala Kforois, Ula Harbesham Betachanois, Venois and Stachalanim. So there's an idea, it's brought down three places in Shulchan Aruch where there's a Minig Yisrael, it's Halacha, the Ramah quotes it, there's an idea to go to Kibbeit Tzadikim, La Harbesham. There's an idea to go daven by Givrit Tzadikim. Now this halacha has a makar in a gemara. The makar, meaning till now all these gemaras we mentioned, whether it's Moshe, whether it's Kolev, whether it's Rochem of Akalbanah, this is all Divrei Agada. It just so happened that that's something that could happen or would happen. Here you have it in Shulchan Aruch. So for it to be in Shulchan Aruch, it has to have a makar. Where do you find that in halacha you're actually mandated to do that? That this is an idea from a halacha perspective. And the makar to that is the gemara Masechtas Tainus. The gemara over there is describing as the Tanesim intensified, more time had passed without it raining, the Mishnayos and Masechtas Tainus. So the processes that they followed got more and more intense. One of the things they do is they go to the Beis HaKfaris. Zok to Gemara, Lama Yoytzen the Beis HaKfaris. Why did they go to the Beis HaKfaris? Pligi Bar, Rab Levi, Bar Chomov, Rab Chanina. Chadama once said, Hareinu Chashul V'Nachu Gemesim. They're showing the Ebeshto that we're mamish like nothing. We're Chashav Gemesim. V'Chadama, another man Noma says, Kedei Sheyev Akshuleinu Mesim Rachamim. We're going to the Mesim so that the Mesim should daven for us. So again, you see this idea of going to a kever on times that are a Shasa Kosher, whether it's a Tainis, Tisha B'Av, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Kolev had a special Shas HaKosher, Lacha the Churban. The idea is to go to the Mason, that the Mason should somehow intervene on our behalf, so everything should play itself out. Incidentally, it's a very important Tosfos from Kiveger in Gilyon HaShas on that Gemara in time that sends you to Tosfos. The Tosfos is right here in our Gemara, where Tosfos asks a kasha, it's the whole Gemara, whole Sugi in Masechtas Brachos, Daftiut Ches, where the Gemara discusses, do Mason know what's going on in the world, or do they not know what's going on in the world? The Gemara brings different Mises. Alamaskana, the Gemara says, Mason have no idea what's going on. We think they know, they don't know. The Mason don't know what's flying. So if they don't know what's flying, Frey Tais Akasha, what's this Gemara, Masech, this Tainus, and all these things we talked about? Go to the maze. I thought they don't know what's going on. So Tosfos, Pasha the Teretz. They don't know unless you tell them. But if you tell them what's going on, now they know. So the first thing you have to do when you go to the Kever of a Tzaddik or the Kever Yavis, but Af Maidiyazan, you have to tell them a Stutzach. Yeah, there's a chayla, there's a chasana, there's a tzorech, there's something going on. You maidia them. Once you maidia them, now they're able to know. Once they know, they're going to be able to intervene on your behalf. But there's a very interesting shayla that's mentioned in the poskim. And this is a fascinating shayla. So you go to Kibrei Tzadikim. What are you supposed to do? What's you show up, you talk to the tzaddik, you talk to the Eibishter, you daven, the schus to the tzaddik, push up shot, ivritaych. What do you do? So you go on one of these tours, whether it's Eastern Europe or whether it's Eretz Yisrael. So you're talking to the tzaddik. Like, what exactly is happening? So the emes is, it's Mefurish the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, on the Simon Tovkov Pei Aleph, where he brings this halacha that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a minig to go to the tzaddikim. Zok to Mishnah Berurah. So what are you supposed to do? Ach, al yosim magamosoy neged ha-mason. Says the Mishnah Berurah, don't talk to the mason. Ach, Yevakesh me Hashem Yisbarach sheyitein olav rachamim b'schos hatzadikim shoich neyofer. You're talking to Hashem. So what do you do? Zez the Mishnah Berurah. You daven the same way you daven in shul. However, you go to the makom where the tzaddikim are buried to be ma'orer, the schusim of those tzaddikim, and in your tefillah you insert that in the schus of these tzaddikim. Answer my tefillahs. But you're not talking to the tzaddikim, you're really talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what, it's a place that's mesugal for a person's tefillahs to be answered. That's the reason, that's what Mishnah Berurah says. It's a makom that's mesugal for Kabbalah's tefillah, that's why you go there. But you're not davening to the tzaddik, you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the schus of that tzaddik, may my tefillah be answered. That's the idea. The makar for this Mishnah Berurah is a maril. The maril is quoted right here by the Ber Heitev, and the maril already said that chas v'sholem, a person should not go and daven to the tzaddik, because you're not allowed to daven to the tzaddik. You daven to one person, you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean then, kibrei tzaddikim, and the schus of the tzaddik, my tefillah should be answered. But there's a tshuva from the Minchas Alozer. The Minchas Alozer is a chelek aleph, simin samiches, with the Minchas Alozer says that he believes that the Velt did not properly understand the Maril. The Velt quotes this Maril saying that when you go to Kivrei Tzaddikim, you can't daven to the Tzaddik. You can't talk to the Tzaddik. You can only talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says it's a tois. And I'll prove to you that it's a tois. I'll just speak out one of these riots. Our Gemara, what did Kalev do? Halach v'nishtatech al Kivrei Yovais. Omar lohen. Who's hen? Who's they? The Ovis. Avoisai. My Ovis. Bikshu alai rachamim. She'enotza ma'atzas meraglim. And this is something that you find throughout. It brings kama rise in Minchas Alozer. That people did talk to the tzaddik. What does he mean? He says, the Maril was just trying to make one point. Don't dive into the tzaddik that the tzaddik should help you. Tzaddik can't help you. Einayim uvadoi. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help you. Dive into the tzaddik that the tzaddik should intervene on your behalf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you. But Chalila to think that you're diving into, that's all the Maril meant. But that you can't talk to the tzaddik, of course you can talk to the tzaddik. That's what Kol Ben Yefuna did. There's plenty of precedents that you should talk to the tzaddik. And the truth is, it's a mefurish of Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim in Ois Tof Nun. The Sefer Chassidim says as follows. Yesh hano lemeisen she'oyaveyem hulchin al kivreihem. The mason have hano when oyaveyem, people that like them, go to their kever. And when they go to their kever, they daven that the neshama should have an aliyah. Umeitivin lehem boisoilim. And they're native for the people that go to the kever. Vigam, kishem evakshim mehem. When people then at the kever daven to the tzaddik and ask the tzaddik to help them. mispalulim alachayim. They actually daven for that. So if you go to the kever of a tzaddik, you're someone that was an oyev of the tzaddik. The tzaddik has hanah from the fact that you're there. He's going to be meitiv for you, and not just that, he's the tzaddik is going to daven for you. The kolev ben yefuna says the sefer chasidim nishtatach al kivei aveis. You see that idea by kolev ben yefuna that there's such an idea where you can go to kivei tzaddikim, and that tzaddikim are going to daven for you. The bottom line is lemaisa. It's very interesting, but there's a tshuva from Ramosha. Ramosha is in Erechayim Chelek Hei. This is in the Chelek Ches, where Ramosha was asked, a person goes to the kever of a tzaddik. You want to daven by the tzaddik's kever. You daven to the tzaddik, you daven to Hashem. Exactly how is this supposed to play out? So there's some beautiful Mar Mekoymas. It's Ois Vav, Simen Mem Gimel, Erechayim Chelek Hei. It's a beautiful tshuva. But one of the things that Ramosha says over there is, he quotes a tshuva, Chassam Sofer. I looked up to Chassam Sofer inside. Chassam Sofer had a major problem. He brings from the Maral already. The Maral had a major problem with some of the nuschais that we say during Slichas, and we say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. For example, Machnisei Rachamim, Achnisu Rachameinu, Lifnei Bala Rachamim. Who are we talking to? Who are these Machnisei Rachamim? It's not Hashem. Machnisei, first of all, is a Lashon Rabbim. Lehachnisu rachameinu, lifnei bal harachamim. You're talking to someone, you're davening to the machnisei rachamim, and take our tefillas in front of the Baal. Who are you talking to exactly? Look, who are you talking to, the malachim? Additionally, just another example, you have at the climax of the Ne'ila davening, midas harachamim aleinu hiskalgali, velifnei koinech tchinaseinu apili. You're talking to midas, you're not talking to Hashem, you're talking to this midas harachamim, whatever midas harachamim means, and you're telling midas harachamim, velifnei koinech tchinaseinu apili. Take who are you davening to? You're not davening to Hashem. So you're davening to Malachim. How exactly are you talking to Malachim? So the Maral writes in one of his Sfarim not to say Machnisei Rachamim. The Shoyal asked the Chassam Sofer what to do. So the Chassam Sofer was mefakfik a little bit of what the Maral said, but at the end of the tshuva, one line at the end of the tshuva, he says, me personally, my minig is that at the end of Slichas, I stay down a little bit longer when it comes to Rachum Bechanon, and I wait until the Chazan gets up to Shoy Me Yisrael. It's like this, I don't do anything but Farhesia, but I skip Machnisei Rachamim. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva. Rav Moshe writes that he saw by his father the same minig, that his father would skip over all these different piyutim that would seem to suggest that you're talking to a malach, that you're talking to somebody other than Hashem. He takes it a step further, listen to this. V'chein loy Omar, he's talking about his father. Bilel Shabbos Kodesh. Kishayim Shalom Aleichem. Es Achruz Baruchuni L'Shalom. Who are you talking to? Shalom Aleichem. You're talking to the Malach. Baruchuni L'Shalom. Malachi Ashalom. You're asking the Malach to give you a bracha. We don't daven to Malachim. We daven to Hakadosh Baruch. I mean that we don't daven to Malachim. We only daven to Hakadosh Baruch. He said his father used to skip Baruchuni L'Shalom because it sounds a little bit like you talk. So he said, "What's the pshat in the minig? Not that way." The Ma'aser is a whole minig in Klai Yisrael people. The Ma'aser is all. Zoldigus Moshe's father. Said, what's the pshat that the Minig Yisrael is? What's pshat that the Minig Yisrael is that people, we say Machnisei Rachamim and we say Baruch Hu L'Sholim, what's that all about? Says Rav Moshe, L'chura, the pshat is because there are Malachim that are appointed as being Sanegorim for Klal Yisrael. Their job is to be Melamed Zchus for Klal Yisrael. Their job is that anytime a Yid does a mitzvah, they run in front of the Kisei HaKavod and they tell the Kisei HaKavod, they tell Hashem how wonderful Klal Yisrael is. They do this mitzvah, they do that zchus, they learn Torah here, they do that, all the mitzvah. That's their job. You're allowed to, says Rav Moshe, according to those opinions, talk to the Malachim and tell them to do their job with more gusto, with more ahava, with more simcha. That's what you're telling them to do. These are the sanegorim of Klal Yisrael. There's a midas harachamim. And the midas harachamim's job is to go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lifnei koinech tchinaseinu apili. That's what he does. So you're talking to the midas harachamim, who anyways is supposed to do that, and you're telling him to do it. That's probably what we're doing. It's not more than that. That's all it is. And that's something that the Matirim allow you to do. The Oisrim have a problem with that. The Oisrim say, you don't talk to Malachim. We talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eibishter is who we dive into. How the Eibishter is going to play it out, there's Sanhedrin, let it all play out the way it's supposed to play out. But Tefillah is Yid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody else. What about Tzadikim? Oh, what about Tzadikim? So Zokra Moshe. If really you only let it dive into Hashem, and even the Heter to say Machnisei Rachamim and Velifnei Koinech, etc. is all because they're the Sanhedrin, so that's why you don't have by Tzadikim. Because the Tzadikim are not Sanhedrin, even if they have a Koinech HaTfilos. Again, let them daven. If they want to daven, let them daven. But how do you have a right to daven for them? So that's already the second half of the Tshuva. L'maiser HaMoshe says, there seems to be no Hachra, L'kan, Again, I didn't go through the tshuva well enough. Ask your local rabbi, way beyond my pay grade. But it sounds like the Ovid Kemar Ovid, or the Ovid Kemar Ovid, the different minhagim in Klal Yisrael. This is part one of this discussion. Yetz Hashem, maybe tomorrow, maybe some other day we'll do part two.